you, but. Good evening.
Good evening.
We're waiting on our other brother to join us. How was your day today? Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight for our second podcast. We're just waiting for one of the other hosts to join us tonight.
We live, y'all.
Yeah, we live. Just waiting on you.
No, roll the show. Roll the show. Welcome.
So, I did the introduction, actually.
Cool.
So, tonight, what brothers, what are we going to talk about tonight? What are we going to deal with? We brothers.
We're happy. Ooh, we're singing. We're colored.
And we're colored. So give us a high five. So I'm excited to be here tonight with my brothers. I'm Maurice. I guess I'm the older brother, right?
You would be considered the senior of the group.
The senior of the group. I got the senior.
I mean, you know, I mean, like, yeah. You know, the oldest one of all of us.
Yeah, I guess I am the senior group, the senior statesman of the group. So I'm excited to join the younger, and I think Dr. Bertrand is the younger of the group, I would say.
I believe so.
Right. All right. So we're brothers, and this is the Brotherhood, the Brothers Podcast, and I'm excited to be joining you another week. I'm excited about our topic for tonight, which is, what is brotherhood? You know, what is brotherhood? So I think we're going to have some fun talking about what is brotherhood and what that entails and our experiences, you know, as brothers. Or, you know, I really think we should share our experiences with what is brotherhood. We have some hot topics. I know we got some. Yeah. I know I have some hot topics.
Go ahead. What you got?
So the first hot topic I want to talk about is this. In my area, I live in the Washington D.C. area, which is known as the DMV, and I think it was last week. Had a woman who actually passed away while eating at a restaurant. But the interesting situation was while she was eating at the restaurant, she went to the restroom and she passed away. But the restaurant never closed. It stayed open. And they have, from what I'm told, they held up a curtain. She passed away in the women's room. The ladies' restroom, and they use the men's room as a unisex bathroom to kind of, you know, so people would have somewhere to go. I read an article that stated that maybe that wasn't the right idea. One of the managers said that probably was not the right idea to stay open. And then an interview with another manager stated that people were coming in, they were being seated. And so the restaurant, they had reservations that they wanted to keep and honor. So instead of closing, they just threw up a partition. The corner, it took 3 hours to get there. So they just threw up this partition and kept the restaurant open. And then I thought that was a sad situation, but I just don't think that was the right move for the restaurant. I just don't believe that. I personally will not go back to that restaurant knowing what happened. I don't feel safe. But not only do I not feel safe, I'm a little freaked out by the fact that they kept going.
Yeah, the unprofessionalism is really ridiculous. I mean, you know, so the woman died, of course, according to the coroner's office, she died of cardiac arrest. Have since identified the woman by her husband, via her husband. I don't understand how someone passes away in your restaurant and the corner or the private company is what took hours to come get the woman's body,
right.
the undertaker. Right. But the whole issue for me is just the lack of respect you have for your customers, because even if I have to, deal with even if I have to go to the restroom, I still don't want to have to go into a men's room that you have now made a unisex bathroom.
Right.
And then the other issue is I don't understand how the owners of the restaurant says, if I knew the corner would take 2 hours, we would have handled it different. But you thought that the way you handled it was respectful to the family.
And they made the family wait. And then, if I'm not mistaken, they made the family wait behind the partition. With the body. Right.
So I'm behind this partition and I'm screaming and hollering. And I'm sobbing, and you think that your restaurant didn't come in and say, what's going on here?
There's just so many things, so many thought processes going in my brain, I would personally probably find a lawyer and probably sue the restaurant.
I would not be surprised if the family does that.
Right. You know, we understand that, yes, it took the man taking the private company hours to get there, but the lack of respect for my loved ones, the lack of respect for me as a family, you know, as a family member. And they were there playing, they were there. From what I've read, they were there to plan the family reunion. So they were there to plan a family reunion, and this is what happened. So I don't think there's going to necessarily there's a way to end this story. So I'm interested in seeing how it's going to all play out. I think that I know I'm not going to that restaurant. Let's just say that.
Absolutely not.
You don't have to worry about us going to that restaurant ever in life.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. No. Just, I don't like it. That just shows me how you treat. If you teach your customers that are deceased like that, no telling what you're going to teach your customers a lie. So,
exactly.
Another interesting hot topic, we did lose one of the Broadway stars. And if you were a kid growing up in the 80s, you know about Murder, She Wrote. And that would be the great Angela Lansbury. She passed away at, I think, she was days away. She was a few days away from her 97th birthday, if I'm not mistaken. She was 96. In all actuality, this is no lie. I thought she had passed a while ago. I didn't know that she... No, I did. I really did. I really thought that Angela had gotten up out of here years ago.
Yeah.
No way.
Thought she was still living.
I feel bad. So, but this is not to disrespect her memory. That's not to. I do honor her. I mean, again, like I said, I grew up watching, you know, Murder, She Wrote. You know, it's still actually, I think it's on Peacock. It's one of the shows on Peacock. So, yes, we send our love and our prayers to her family in this time. But I'm just being realistic. I actually thought that she was gone already.
Yeah. Definitely.
I found this quite interesting. We haven't got a chance to talk about it. But Tia Mowry has filed for divorce.
Yeah.
After being with her husband for... They were married for 14 years, but together for 23.
And had problems all 23 years.
I find it interesting because I was looking at some video clips of how she couldn't, she said she couldn't live without her husband. And they filed divorce under irreconcilable differences.
I mean, to me, I just feel like she's really done all she can to save her marriage. And you can even tell, like, when they used to have the show on, what was that, Bravo Network, I think it was, when they would follow Tia and Tamara around, you could tell he had issues. I really felt like there was a lot of jealousy in the marriage. She's casting back to back. He can't pull a gig. I mean, it was one of those things. I really feel like she filed for divorce, and I feel like everybody in her life was just like, girl, finally, you finally got rid of that dude. Like, we knew this was not going to work. I wish them both great success, but like, what was he bringing to the table? I'm like, Janet, what have you done for me lately? What are you bringing to this table? Besides your looks and besides the fact that we have a child together, but what are you really bringing to? Okay, so besides the fact that we were able to procreate, like, what good has come from this thing? I mean, like, in the earlier stages, he cheated. Then I think he was like verbally abusive at one point. Like, congratulations to you.
You're congratulating her, but the divorce has been called off since the announcement was made.
Are you serious?
Check it out. Yes. This is why I think we have to be real careful, because it'll be on one day and off the next. So, talking about they love each other and they need each other, and we're looking from the outside. We don't know what was happening on the inside, because, again, people work on what they want to work on. Maybe this was a scare tactic. Maybe this was something she wanted to do but realized she still wants to be with her husband, because a lot of people go in and out of divorce. Look at Faith Evans and Stevie J. They're, again, talking about getting a divorce, but they – how many times have they done that in the last few years?
But Stevie J and Faith Evans is weird. Yeah. CDJ and Faith Evans, just, that relationship is kind of, like, weird to me on so many levels because they've and I understand they were friends for over 20 years. They know each other for over 20 years. But it just was like, well, nobody knew she was, it was kind of like no one knew, and then pop up, they go to Vegas and get married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like one of those things that, you know, people that you didn't think were dating all of a sudden become engaged. You're like, what? Y'all were dating? But that's,
you don't know
so,
what's going to happen.
Right. So they did get back together? Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah, because I'm doing, like, I'm researching it now. And, I mean, like, just 8 hours ago, she had commented to popculture.com that she was into Entertainment Tonight, that she was feeling blessed amidst the breakup, and that she's doing good and she feels blessed and she's overwhelmed by the love and support she's received. I don't see anything about the calling it back together part. I see that he wants it to work out, but I don't see any response to her.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting because it's kind of like Dr. Bertrand said, you know, people, like, who did that? Like, besides Faith Evans and Stevie J, somebody else that was a celebrity, they were calling it off, they were on the way to divorce, and then all of a sudden they decided not to do it, and then they lasted for like 6 months, 6-7 months, and then they did finally call it off. I think it, I can't remember, I have to find it, but it's interesting, like, celebrities are interesting. I think we should do a podcast about celebrity, the celebrity life, because it's very interesting when you see and you're in the spotlight and people look up to you. I think, Dre, I think we talked about this the other day when we were talking about Haley Bailey and her, you know, what you were saying about her wearing provocative outfits and dancing provocatively and having little girls looking up to you. I think that's very important because I never forget when I worked at a school, my students ascribed to be basketball players and rappers only, and not understanding that you got to work for it. Like, it's not going to just fall in your lap. I think we need to talk about that as celebrities and how, you know, they're in the spotlight and what happens about living in that spotlight, because it's not always peaches and cream.
Absolutely.
It's not always peaches and cream. So I think we need to definitely do a podcast talking about the celebrity life. So I find it interesting, you know, people who are celebrities and the stuff that they have to deal with and protecting their, and those that are married, protecting their children, protecting their marriage, you know, even with the situation with Neo and what he's dealing with.
No comment.
Yeah, no comment. It's interesting. Celebrity life is interesting. You know, we only see what we see on the news, but yeah, I think it's very interesting.
Even if we included ministers, you know, because again, part of the visual, we only see part of what we know or what's been clipped and TikToked and all of that. So it would be worth having the conversation.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I call that church. Those are church celebrities. You're celebrities. Yes. We all know church celebrities. We all know somebody that's a church celebrity. But I'm not gonna be messy tonight, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're not gonna be messy tonight. No, we're not.
Yeah, we don't need.
No, I'm not gonna do it. No, I'm gonna do it for the Vine. I ain't gonna do it. To me, celebrity life, and we're gonna talk about our brotherhood. We are gonna talk about that, but I do want to add this little piece in there. I find that celebrity life is, you're put so high up on a pedestal that you have to be careful of falling off of that pedestal. So you got to be careful that what is it that we always say? Living in that spotlight, living under a microscope is very the little thing you do can be seen under this microscope. Because, you know, with a microscope, you have to see the tiny thing, and it's magnified. So even though you may make a mistake, that mistake can have ramifications for the rest of your career. If we look at, you know, celebrities like Ellen, Kobe, who else has had something major happen to them that's really O.J. Simpson, that's tarnished their reputation and their credibility as a celebrity. So when we talk about church celebrities, the tarnishment of their reputation and character is just the same. And we have to be careful. We have to be careful with what we do. And we have to I kind of feel like we live our life under a microscope, but we also must live our life with character, and integrity. So it's important that whatever we say and do, we do it as my mentor said, the best and the highest. Because everything we do is scrutinized nowadays.
Right.
Even in our personal lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
What about this topic here of this hot topic of George Floyd's youngest daughter and her mother are waging war against Kanye West for recent statements he made of the late George Floyd. They announced today that they're actually seeking to sue him. Allegedly, they announced today that they're seeking to sue him for $250 million after he said that Floyd died from fentanyl and not from injuries sustained from the horrendous arrest that was made.
It's ridiculous that at this point people still believe that it was drugs and not what we saw on camera. Like, we literally saw the video. And to say that he wasn't calling for his mother, he wasn't praying, it was literally all of these other things that have been proven false. This is why we have to realize that people can hear the truth, but until they accept the truth means nothing to them. They're just going to continue with a lie, because it's easier to stay with a lie you've known than to receive a truth you're just now coming in contact with. And it's crazy for someone watch that video and believe that somebody died from drugs and not from the knee on their neck.
My issue is just the person who, like, the source. I mean, we all know that Kanye's on his own special type of drug. And I just feel like, come on, player. Like, Kanye right now needs relevancy. I feel like he's lost with little bit of relevancy he's had. He's lost his mind. He's lost his relationship. He's lost his deals, major deals, you know. And every time something goes wrong, it's somebody else's fault. And the best way to deflect the attention off of me is to say something dumb out my mouth. I feel like Kanye and Orlando Brown right now are taking the same type of mess.
I feel like there is no mess at all. I feel like we're seeing Kanye go down this downwards spiral of mental illness. And no one has said, hey, Kanye, listen, bro. We can get you help. We can get you the mental help you need.
They have tried. Kanye said he does not have a problem.
Okay. Okay. So here we are in denial. And
what that is, it's denial.
It's denial. Absolutely. Like you lost your mother. And I think that's when we started to see that downward spiral of I look at the poor man and just my heart goes out to him, but to say the stuff that he says and to do the things he's done, it's just crazy. It's really crazy. It's just really crazy. I mean, I want him to think about these things, but like he's not. Or I feel like he is, but he's not using his better sense. It's crazy. Because I agree with Dr. Bertrand in saying that, you know, we clearly saw the video. We saw what we saw. We know what happened. There's a coroner's report. Yeah, they have every right. They have every right to sue him. Every right. I pray they win.
Absolutely. I don't think, to me, it's a point now where I don't really think he can afford to continue to get the hits he's getting.
But I also feel like he loves the attention.
Yeah.
He likes being controversial. He likes the controversy. He likes the attention. And, you know, some people get off on attention. It's their endorphins. It gives them what they need to go on. And I feel like that's what it does for him. Like, remember he was stalking Kim and Pete Davidson when she was dating him. Like, he was just doing this very weird thing. I think he gets off on this. I think it's a part of this he loves.
Yeah.
He loves stirring
that's,
the pot.
The attention, I think, is what it is for me.
Yeah, attention whore.
Yeah.
He loves being an attention whore.
Absolutely. He is seeking attention. I don't have it anymore. I don't have Kim Kardashian to back me up. I don't have nothing. I don't have love and affection. I ain't got a friend. I ain't got a hit album. Like, I just need all of that now.
But you don't have friends because you made the choice to alienate them all.
Absolutely.
It's a real friend to tell you about yourself.
A real friend to tell you about yourself. You gotta hear it. You gotta believe it.
Right.
I can tell you all day. You funky. But if you don't believe you funky, you still gonna walk around funky.
Right.
That's true. And I know many people who do. That is absolutely true.
I think we can segue into our topic for tonight with this. I think this is important to talk about brotherhood. And so, you ready to lead us tonight, Dr. Bertrand?
Let's do it. Listen, we're in a day and a time where terms are just thrown around very loosely. That's my friend, that's my brother, that's my bestie, that's my twin. And I think that we don't realize what kind of impact we're giving people the ability to have in our life when we label them or title them in such a way. We are born into families, so we have blood family. But when I choose you as my family, when I choose you to be in my life, that's a whole nother level of responsibility and accountability, another level of transparency that should happen because as I'll talk about me. I have blood family that I've never met. I have blood family that I don't have relationships with. I have blood family that are family because they're blood. I wouldn't choose them of my own accord. And then there are people that have proven that they are my family, that they're there for me, they fight with me, they cry with me. If I ask them for a dollar, they're trying to give me five. Not trying to beat me down because I'm in need, but trying to help me meet the need. And I think that because of the romancing of relationships through social media and the internet, we don't even know how to be friends. We don't know how to be brothers. We don't know how to really connect because we engage on a human level. These two men that I'm on this podcast with, these are my brothers. These are not my ministry brothers. These are not my God brothers. These are my brothers. I don't want to put an adjective on it because when I was down, they were there. When I didn't know what I was going to do, they tried to help me work it out. When I wanted to give up, well, you can't do that. And this is why. Because not only did they understand me as a person, they understood me in purpose. And I think that we don't have real circles anymore. We don't have real communities anymore. So we get situations like this is wrong, but you can't hear them. You don't want to receive from them because you don't really value what they say. If these two men tell me something is wrong, I'm going to look at it. Disagree, we just disagree. But I honor what they say, and their words carry weight in my life and in my situation. Do we really have brotherhood anymore? Do we really have friendships that are beyond the title, beyond, oh, you made me feel good one time, so you my friend? Or do we just gather a bunch of yes people around us to always tell us that we're right and always make us feel good? I can promise you, the two of you, these two right here, don't always make you feel good. But it's not to tear me down, it's to build me up. Because when you're growing, everything is not comfortable. When you're walking in purpose, everything is not comfortable. Sometimes you need somebody on the outside of you that's going to be able to tell you the real, bigger than what you can see within yourself. Because sometimes your vision is limited because of your own experience, because of your own thoughts. And you need people that are going to say, let's get this out of the way so it can be done.
Definitely. I think, especially nowadays, I just feel like we give people leeway anyway in our lives that they don't need to have. I think a lot of that just stems from not really understanding what a true friend is. Today, my aunt, for instance, you know, lost one of her best friends today who we consider to be family. You know, we call her Aunt Kathy, and my aunt, you know, looks at her like a sister. And it kind of reflected me back to something my grandfather said, that, you know, there are certain people who prove that they can earn the title or brother or sister in your life. I feel a lot of things are us as a person. I just feel like we have to stop giving people so much leeway in our life, because when we give people leeway, we give them access that sometimes they don't understand how to handle. And so then it becomes, now that I've given it to you, How do you handle the situation? Like, you know, can you really handle being a part of my life and all that comes with it? You know, if I'm having a rough day or a rough night, or I had a bad dream and I need to reach out to you. You know, do I have to worry about, can I really rely that you will pick up the phone? Or is it a thing that, you know, tomorrow I'll hear the 17 reasons why you didn't answer the phone? You know, if I really need you to be there, will you be there? You know, because to me, this is all of the things that siblings do. And it's a hard enough time to get along with your blood relatives than to add someone else into your atmosphere that's not a blood relative, and now you have to deal with their foolishness too.
We don't realize how important these relationships are, and that's why we casually just give access to ourselves in that way.
Absolutely.
Brotherhood, relationships are already trickier than it is. I feel like in this day and age, one minute you're hot, one minute you're not. And I do. Like, I feel like we say, okay, listen, you're my brother. And I'm speaking from my own personal experience with this. I had someone that I was really close with. We were saying we were brothers. Now, I don't do that twin stuff because I feel like when you start saying someone is your twin, I feel like you're saying they're the exact same. They're just alike. They're like you. And I'm cautious about twins. even though twins can be different, but they are the same. They look alike. They're identical. And so I'm very cautious about saying twins, but definitely don't mind saying brothers. And I ended a love-hate relationship with this whole brotherhood situation. Besides you all, I've never had any issues with you all. I just think when we talk about brotherhood, you know, we have a lot of brothers who one minute they're your brother and one minute they don't acknowledge you. Or one minute they're your brother and they're jealous over you. And I feel like this is why I feel like there's such a love-hate relationship with brotherhood and brothers and being and what that means and being authentic. Because I feel like a lot of it is not authentic. I feel like it's very, very surface. Because if you're someone's brother, here's the other thing you all were talking, when you all said, I have brothers, I'm the oldest. I have siblings, I have brothers, I have biological staff, I have all of those. And to be honest with you, I am not close to my brothers, but I'm very close with I'm close with my sister. So what's going wrong in my family or my family structure that I'm not close with my brother, but I'm closer to my sister? And I tend to find that we are closer with females more than we are closer to actual males. But males have less beef with each other than women do. And so I'm kind of confused about this whole brotherhood situation, because I feel like in some instances it's authentic, in some instances it's not, and there are times where being brothers can be a challenge. I feel like it's like the whole Cain and Abel situation. Like, you know, you think you better than me.
but a lot of that too is just, I feel like, you know, we as a people, I feel like we go along with what the culture is doing too quickly without understanding what's going on, you know, behind the scenes. Like, I feel like, especially nowadays, I feel like we are raising our young people into a society where what they see on TV is automatically what's correct and what should be done. And I feel that we have placed into even their minds a time where it's like, oh, You know, it's okay to claim all of these people, but we don't teach them that if you're going to claim people, you still have to deal with your individuality self. You know, we teach people that, oh, you know, if you're going to call somebody your brother, then that means that, you know, you got their back 100%. Yeah, I got your back. But when you do something stupid, you know, I also have...
You don't know you did something stupid.
You're going to know you did something stupid, exactly, because I'm going to be the one who tells you, you know, well, that was dumb as hell. Just like that. And you should be able
like
to receive it, because at the end of the day, since you call me your brother, like, you should be able to receive that notion. Like, I shouldn't, you know, because I'm your brother don't mean I'm going to pacify you. Let's start there. And I feel like nowadays we have a society full of these homemade siblings, and no one is holding each other accountable for what they're doing. Like, one thing about us I have grown to love is the fact that we hold each other accountable. You're not going to just do nothing stupid and think, oh, I'm not going to hear about the stupidity that I've caused, you know. And so, and I got to be okay with that. I got to be okay with, you know, yo, Harris, that was dumb as hell, dog. Like, you shouldn't have did that. You definitely know you should have handled that differently. And I've, you know, and if I feel like it, you know, okay, you're right, I should have handled it differently, you know. But at the same token, if I'm going to catch an attitude every time you hold me accountable, send me back to being your friend.
Right.
You know, because you know, I don't value you. You know, my grandfather used to always say, you know, your friends should never bring shame to your relationship, whether it be something that's done collectively or something that's done individually. It should be no shame brought to your relationship. And I feel like as brothers, like, that's the thing that we have. Like, if you know, one thing I love about us is that we're connected just not in the physical, but in the spiritual. Like, we can sense each other. And nowadays, you don't even have that with families. So, you know, that's even more deeper for me, because I'm a person, like, what I'm lacking in my family, I don't lack in this brotherhood. And to me, that's deep. You're not going to find that everywhere. So, you know, it's not...
I was going to say, we don't try to change each other. Listen,
right.
Dre is Dre, Maurice is Maurice, I'm me. And it's never, you need to be like me or you need to be like this one. It's, you are who you are, and I deal with you based upon who you are. Now, as you mature, as you change, I deal with you as the change comes, because I still see better for you. But better doesn't mean you need to change your personality. But I don't always see you in the moment that you're in. Because the moment that you're in is a moment. It's not the rest of your life. But you need
right.
people that will be able to say, yo, bro, you're good. Hold on. It's not going to be this way always. Because we've all been through some serious stuff. And we leaned on each other so we wouldn't break.
That's right.
It wasn't always, you know, and it wasn't always, I'm waiting on you to call me. I'm waiting on you to message me. I'm waiting on you to text me. We call each other out of the blue, talking about something stupid, and realize, yo, my brother needs me.
Mm-hmm.
Just a haphazard relationship, and even though it's the three of us, we know how to deal with each other. We know how to talk to each other. We know how to check each other, and we know how to laugh with each other because we've learned each other. Do we know everything? No. Is it always what we want it to be? No. But the reality is we're in it together, period, the end. I don't see a lot of that, not in reality, because we can have a conversation and it become a Facebook post.
Mm-hmm.
Or you got an issue, and I got to find out about it on the internet, but I just talked to you. Why don't you feel comfortable enough to tell me what's going on? Why don't you share your struggles with me? Why don't you share your low points with me? Because I don't always want to see you high. because that creates a false sense or a false vision of who you are. I don't need you to be Superman. I need you to be who you are. I don't need you to hide behind the ability to carry the world. I need you to be honest. And right now, this is too much. I need some help. I just need somebody to talk to. Listen, I need a game day. I need a movie day. When we going to get together? It's been too long. We do that all the time. Okay, when we going to get together? Though we're in three different areas, we try to work it out for us to get together because it's good for us to be able to sit and talk and laugh and process life and look at the stupidity on the internet. Like, I'm still trying to figure out why people are microwaving eggs, but we're going to leave that alone because that's not very good. But, again, why y'all doing that? But when you don't have people to lean on, when you don't have people that you can trust.
Yeah.
Now, I put all my trust in man. I put my trust in God, but I know those that labor among me. I know Dre. I know Maurice. I can tell in conversation something ain't right. What's wrong? What happened? Who made you mad? Do I need to get bail money?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
I think a lot of
what happened.
Right.
Great, bro.
I feel like a lot of inauthenticity stems from that whole hater. I feel like the more we kept talking about hate, the more you talk about haters, you now become kind of cognitive of your surroundings. And there's nothing wrong with looking at, you know, understanding there are some people that just don't have your best intent. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with looking at that, and there's nothing wrong with realizing that. But I think when you fixate on it and you keep talking about it and you keep saying it over and over again and you keep hearing it, it now becomes a point to where now we don't form close relationships because we're always afraid of being betrayed. And I kind of see how that is damaging, but I also don't think it's fair because there are people who are not trying to damage you or harm you. They're really trying. They really do have your best interest at heart. But I think one of the frustrating things is it's kind of like if you look at it from the perspective of, and I know this ain't always a church, but let's go back to it because, like, the whole Judas and Jesus situation and Jesus and Peter, we look at it as, okay, someone's going to always betray me. People don't have my back all the time. And we get that. People don't have your back. But there is someone that will have your back. There is someone that will be there for you. There is someone that, but what we do is we lump everybody in that same category and we don't deal with the fact
that
we don't. I don't trust, you don't trust, but your trust issues stem from someone betraying you and you never really getting over it and you never dealing with why they did what they did. Yeah,
right.
Why did they do what they did? If I lived my life in that shadow, I have no way in the world I would be, especially what I just experienced.
We would not.
Yeah. It's the thing that, okay, someone, I get that someone hurt you, someone did you dirty, someone did you wrong, but that's not everybody. And I feel like we live in that world, we live in that society where, okay, you hurt me, I'm a go in this shell, and I'm going to live in this cave because I don't want to be hurt again, so I don't want to have brothers. Well, I don't want to form bonds, and I don't want to, and I feel like that is what's happening. Like, we're so tired of, people are tired of being hurt, but people are also not necessarily trying their best to move past the situation.
Or they just learned, they have to learn to stop looking for the hurt. Like, you know, I was always told if you look for something long enough, you're going to find what you're looking for.
Yes.
If I don't want to be hurt, why am I looking for the hurt? Like, I don't, if I'm saying I don't want to go through what I've been through, then why do I keep looking at that? I keep looking for that same hurt in every single person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't make sense to me. And if you keep doing the same thing but expect different results, then you're insane. So sometimes the change I'm looking for has to start with me before I can expect it to be in anybody else's situation.
Correct.
Right. I think I want to talk about fraternities because that I know a lot of people don't believe in them, you know, especially in the church where we never talk about it because that's a whole Christian fraternity, but a couple of them, but we never talk about that. A lot of people now when, of course, being I'm the oldest, when I was coming up, that was the thing. Now, before me, that was the thing to do. Like in the 60s and the 70s, joining a fraternity was like in the 80s. That was the thing. Like if you joined the Divine Nine, one of the Divine Nine, you were the it. And a lot of people, now I'm seeing a lot of people getting away from that. And we're seeing people form their own fraternities. We see people creating their own brotherhoods. I'm starting to see that coming into play as well. Like people are forming groups to say, hey, we're men, but this is what we ate. This is our niche or our particular area. And so I feel like with brotherhood, a lot of people are connecting. Now, as much as people are refusing to connect, there are people connecting and bonding over certain things. And it could be like interest. It could be like legends, or you like this type of car, you like these type of wines. And so people are forming groups based off that, and they're meeting different types of people, and they're forming these bonds. And I feel like the more we start embracing those things, because before it was for people of color, it was a fraternity. That's where you had your brotherhood. You had your brothers in your alpha, your sigma, your Q's, your kappas, your iota. You know, you had your, and I named all of them dinner. Did I leave one out?
You said Q's. But even with that, I think, to me, a lot of people got away from them because you had to do too much just to call yourself a brother. And I do understand that the art of proving yourself. Like, let's be real. Like, you know, I do understand that. But if proving myself means you gotta physically lay hands on me, then there's no, then to me, being a part of you is no different than being a part of me. If you have to jump me in, it's not worth it. It sounds good, but it's not worth it. And I feel in today's day and age, you know, even with being in, there was a time where the fraternities were, to me, and if you look at even like the old school fraternities versus today's times with fraternities, I feel like there was a time when fraternities really did show that they cared about one another. It wasn't just to say, I pledge. You know, but let's be real, I never had the pledge to be family with anybody.
Right.
You know, my brothers that, you know, the few that I call my siblings, my brothers, my sisters, you know, we act accordingly. But I never had to pledge their friendship. I never had to pledge their loyalty to me. I never had to pledge my loyalty to them. I show it. You know, with my actions. If they say, you know, hey, I'm going through, we're going through together. And so I feel like, you know, and being someone who used to want to be, you know, in a frat until I really researched a lot of things that I just didn't quite agree with, I feel that a lot of folk just have these, they have this thing about them that it's just, you know. And then I also don't like the fact that, you know, if I'm not a part of your group, your clique, your frat, you know, then you treat me differently than you treat them because y'all went and got branded together. Like, really, dog? So that's where I'm at with fraternities and sororities. It was the same thing with the Masons. You know, at one point, everybody wanted to be a Mason or an Eastern Star. You know, oh, okay. That's nice.
But I think I felt like it was at that time, you know, a rite of passage. Like it was like for many of those brotherhoods, you had those, okay, this is my niece and my niece is gonna join and she gonna be this and you my son and you gonna be a legacy. So I think a lot of that brotherhood was, and like you said, it was about passing down traditions. I think now, as like you said, like many people are getting away from it because, like you said, they're creating their. I feel like they're creating their own space because, you know, I like anime, so I've formed a bond, a brotherhood over people with anime. Like we're forming bonds in other ways. We're just not using fraternities and sororities to get to that place. We're finding other things to kind of get us to bonding. But I think that with these bonds, we got to really look at, okay, we're bonding, we're growing, we're having these connections, but how are they beneficial?
But that's the key. The key word I think you just used is we're growing. Every connection doesn't prosper or doesn't bring forth growth. So that's the thing that we have to look at. Like, is the connection you have, how is it elevating you?
Right.
If you act like a 5-year-old when I met you, and then we've been friends for 30 years and you still act like a 5-year-old, 9 out of 10, I ain't fooling with you like I used to.
Right.
You know, so if you were like an attention whore when I met you, and now you got somebody who gives you attention, and then 10 years later, you still seeking attention, we got problems.
Right.
I think it has to be growth. It has to be growth. You can't, like, I'm not in the pulpit, so I don't mind saying it like this. You can't go from sugar to shit. Like, there has to be growth. That's how I look at it.
Right, and I think we're calling each other about growth. It's important to understand to help people grow. You need the right stuff, the right people around you to grow and function. I believe that's one thing I feel like is missing. Like when I look at my students or I look at people in my own generation, I don't think they have the right people around them to really help them develop and grow. And I think we, as you know, this is our podcast and we're brothers, or we are brothers, but I also think that one of the things that we can say amongst ourselves that we have all helped each other grow in some aspect of our life, or something we said encouraged us to keep pushing. So I think that having the right people around you, pouring into, and a lot of people say, you know, this may sound very spiritual, but it's important. It's spiritual, but it's also very important. The right people around you, pushing you to the right things and pouring into you when you're empty is definitely important, because if you don't have those right people, you're going to always be on empty. You're going to always feel neglected and dejected. So I think having the right people to pour the right amount of things into you is vitally important, and we need it. I mean, that's why we need these brothers, these professions, these brotherhood. We need these people who are going in the same way or the same like mind as we are.
Yes. Yes, definitely need them to have the same like mind. And really just, I need to see, like, to me, if you see me lacking somewhere, it shouldn't be, if you say you love me as my brother, then it shouldn't be a problem with you saying, you know, yo, I see you struggling right here. You know, let me help you get past the stage you're in. Or, you know, let me show you a different route of handling that. Like, if I see somebody that I care about and they decide I'm going to be out here in these streets and there's something that I just know I can't get with, you know, as their brother, I should definitely pull them up like, yo, you know, what's going on with you that you went from working a full-time job to now you on the corner just doing whatever you want to do, risking your life like you ain't got kids. Who got to still be here if something happened to your foolish behind? You know, like, we have to look out for one another. Like, I've never seen people who have friends and they okay with their friends struggling. That bothers me. So that's how I look at it. Like, you see me struggling, and it's not a struggle where I haven't tried to change. Because let me make that point clear, though. You know, if it's something where you just ain't, you know, I gave you a better route. I helped you get on your feet the first 6 times, and then, you know, time number 7, okay, I get it. A just man falls 7 times, but I ain't going to be the one who keep picking you back up. Like, there has to be a thing where you want to grow once again. So to me, it goes back to, you know, what growth are you bringing forth? What, you know, what exactly are you in my life for? Because that's the other thing I've learned with friendship is we have a lot of friends who don't know how to be friends, but they know how to be, but they're great at using people.
Mm-hmm. I also think that there are some people who just don't know how to be a good friend or a good brother. I think that there are people we're going to have to either help learn that. and I say that, I think one of my issues was with me was I'm the oldest, but I felt like I didn't really know how to be a brother. And what does a brother, what does that mean? When you say I'm your brother, what does that mean? What does that mean for me or mean to me? Because if I'm your brother, you know, I'm going to do what I just know how to do. And that helps. But there are some people that they just don't know how to be a brother. They don't know how, because it's not ingrained in them. I feel like there are some people, especially those with only children, they don't know how to be brothers because it's always been about them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not talking about you there because I know you're an only child. But I've known you to not be there. I mean, I'm saying some. I know you to be a good friend, and I remember, you know, that one time when I was sharing with you, like, I said, listen, if this don't work in this next 10 years, like, I'm just closing it down. And you said, no, you know, you kind of encouraged me to stay the course. And I just don't think that there are people that know how to be good brothers because they don't know what that means.
Yeah, yeah.
I think with us, we've learned how to be good brothers to each other and be there for each other because we all have gone through something or something has connected us besides just church. I don't think it's just church. I think what we've gone through in our personal lives has helped us to grow as brothers. Like, it's not up for us. Like you said, this ain't about church. This ain't about ministry. This is about real life.
Absolutely. And I think part of that is because I think we have grown to the point that if something should happen to one of us, the void would be felt with all of us. And
right.
you don't have that anymore. And I think part of that is because many people have to first understand that being in a friendship means that it's not just about me.
Right.
True. Letting go of that selfishness, letting go of
mm-hmm.
that selfish idea that it's me, 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 me.
Exactly.
Me, 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 me. I think people need to let go of that selfish mentality. And once you let go of the selfishness, you can actually find out that you can allow people in.
Yes.
But I think that this was a great discussion tonight about brotherhood. But I do have a question for you all. How can we help others better their brother, better their relationships and their brotherhood? How can we as individuals or with us as a group? Because I feel like we have a lot to offer because there's three distinct personalities. Before y'all answer that question, that's what I like. I cannot stand when people have the same personality as somebody else. It's like, what are you doing? Oh, like, what are y'all doing? Y'all supposed to be different. Like, we're supposed to have three distinct personalities. So my question is, how can we really help people who struggle in that area of brotherhood?
Well, we have to help them assess why they have issues, and then we just got to live it out. Sometimes people don't know because they haven't seen it. There are more visual learners than audible learners. So we've been telling people, but we haven't been showing. So if we just continue to be, people can learn from the example of our being.
Okay. Dr. Dre.
To me, I say, you know, we have to, the best way to lead is by example. You know, one thing I've learned, especially in this season of my life, is I'm not big on talk anymore. You know, don't tell me how to do something. Show me how to do it. So sometimes it takes that hand-on approach of, you know, hey, you know, if you try it like this, it might work differently. Or if you try it like that, it might work differently. But while you're trying it, let me walk this out with you. You know, let me make sure you're not on the back. You're not battling this thing by yourself of trying to get to your next level, and your maturity level and your growth mindset. Because truth be told, there's a lot of grown people with no growth mindset.
Ooh, Lord. Say that one more time. I don't think they heard you in the back.
There's a lot of grown people with no growth mindset. So they're still operating on a child level. I mean, if we're going to throw scripture, then, you know, one of the most renowned scriptures out there says, when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know, so I can't be grown and still play on childlike levels. If all I have when I call you is the latest gossip, you're wasting my time. If I'm always full of mess, you're wasting both of our time. And I've gotten to a point that even in my friendships, my time is valuable. You know, a lot of people that will probably listen to this podcast is wondering, you know, oh, I haven't heard from Dre in a long time. Well, that might be why. Because every time I call, you're still in the same foolishness. Oh, I heard. Let me tell you about. Oh, my goodness gracious. But there's no growth in your personal life. That's a problem. Like, when do you get better for you? That's where I'm at with it.
Right. I think
at the end of the day,
everything else.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, let's be real. Like, at the end of the day, your growth ain't about us. Your growth don't benefit us. It benefits you. But if you don't grow, it won't be a us. Because if I'm going to another level and you like to stay on the same level that you're on, eventually my mindset is going to say, I can't deal with this level. Does that mean I don't like you? No. Does it mean that I don't love you anymore? No. But I can't reach my goals playing around in my dreams.
Wow. Say that again. I can't reach my goals.
Playing around in my dreams.
None of my dreams.
Eventually, I got to come out of playing in my dreams and start fulfilling my dreams. I can't talk about buying a house when I'm comfortable in an apartment. So if my dream is to buy a house, I got to start looking at houses. My living situation has to become uncomfortable. I can't say I'm not going to be working for someone my whole life, and not one time have I even took the time to start my business plan. So as your brother, I should be able to say to you, you know, Doc, you know, 10 years ago you said you was going to start a business, and you still talk about this business, but I ain't seen the plan. You can't be a producer, and the only thing that you know is auto-tunes.
Right.
You know, you can't be successful. And you know, like, you know, my grandfather used to say, you know, what was it, champagne ideas with Kool-Aid money. You know, like, you can't reach success and reach your vision, and you still playing around with what you want to be. Eventually you have to go for it. You have to start moving towards something. Like, you know, they always say no woman wants a man that don't have a job. But at the end of the day, you know, and we probably can help somebody out, no man wants a woman that don't do nothing but talk. Like, there has to be an equal balance. And it's the same thing with yourself. You're not even happy with yourself. So how dare you be pissed off with me for reaching my goals? We supposed to struggle together? I don't think so. So there has to be a come up. I noticed that, like, now that I'm going towards now buying a house, I noticed that even like the people who connected to me are now looking at getting their self together to purchase a house. And it's not a jealousy thing. It's not a competition. It's not an envy thing. Well, at least for the most part of people, it's not a jealousy thing, a competition thing, an envy thing, but it's a thing of, you know, you coming up and I need to come up too. So that's the way I look at it. You know, we can't always have, to me, as in today's society, it's a lot of talk, but ain't nobody walking. Everybody's laying down on the couch.
Everybody's laying down on the couch.
So that's how I look at it. Like, with each of you, when I see something in you guys, and I be like, you know, hey, you know, go for this, or you should do this. I'm not saying it for my health, and I'm not saying it because it sounds good, and I want to pump your head, because y'all know I like to deflate heads. So I don't do it to pump you up or to boast you up. I do it because I see something in you that you might be missing. And I'm like, you know, hey, you should do this, you know. We should try this. We should do this. You know, this podcast, this was like us stepping out into another level to me, into a whole nother atmosphere, a whole nother dimension, because it's hitting things from both sides of the fence. You know, and that's the other thing I think that people need to know, like, when it comes to being a brother, I should be able to get your authentic you, not the make-believe you put on when you step into your pulpit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I don't want the character you've built. I want the person that you are. And I'm okay, and I should be able to be okay with that. I feel like we can't, especially those in the church, We never take the time to let our guards down around the people who we say we're comfortable being around. So we live this facade that we've arrived, and we're always deep. I don't understand how people speak in tongues 24 hours a day. I don't understand how there's always, every conversation we have, there's a prophetic word. If the spirit doesn't dwell with no man always. So can I not have to call you apostle, or can I not have to call you reverend, or can I not have to call you minister and just call you Dre? And you be okay with it. Can I get your angry side sometimes? Do you even get mad? And when you get mad, like, how do you handle your attitude? If we go out to eat and I decide to have a glass of wine, can I not get rebuked? Because I don't understand, like, that's my biggest thing I noticed. I've seen even in secular friendships where people stop doing certain things that they did when they were younger, and instead of helping their friend, they crucified them. So that's my thing.
Well, that was a great discussion tonight. Oh, brotherhood. I think when we start forming, the more we start forming bonds and getting closer with each other, the more we'll see come out of each other. I think for me, it's about pulling out. I should be able to pull out in you what's already there and just enhance it more. I noticed that a lot of friend groups, there are certain ones in the friend groups that are a certain thing. And I feel like we need to create more. Like when you're creating your friend groups or your brotherhood, find the people that can pull you up, pull you out, rebuke you, love you, and still be there for you and see you at the lowest and still want to be there. I don't think a lot of us want to see people at their low point. I feel like we're looking at low points, but we're not really, we're seeing people in their low points, but we're not pulling them up.
I think folks are comfortable with where they're able to actually tell you about yourself and you be okay with some stuff. Instead of surrounding yourself with a bunch of yes men.
But some of us don't like that. We want the yes men.
That might be your problem. You got so many yes men that when you start choking, you don't know how to come out of that chokehold.
Yeah. All right, brothers, what we talk about next time? What we talking about next time?
Next week we talk about the disappearance. We talk about the disappearance of the black man, the black father.
Oh, that's gonna be juicy. That's gonna be juicy. That's gonna be juicy. Like no. That's gonna be juicy. I'm saying it like that on purpose. Juicy. That's gonna be interesting. All right, yeah. I'm excited about this podcast. I hope you guys are excited. This is so refreshing, but not also refreshing, but invigorating. That's the word I use. It's invigorating. Us doing this podcast, talking about real life issues and having this dialogue.
Absolutely.
I'm excited. All right. So those of you that are listening to this podcast or listening to when we're finished, join us. Give us your feedback.
Absolutely. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Instagram.
The Brothers Podcast.
All right, brother. It's been a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure. I'll see you guys next week. And don't forget to check us out, like Javon just said, on our Facebook, our Instagram. Let us know that you're out there. And don't forget, we are on Apple iPod now. Apple Podcasts. I'm sorry. We're on Apple Podcasts now. And we are slowly working our way over to the iHeartMedia platform also. So we look forward to seeing y'all next week.
All right. All right, brother.